Lady Shir Chavis Halvava Sunday afternoon, Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh, Zion Kislev or Ches Kislev, whatever, Sunday afternoon. Okay, we're learning Chavis Halvava Shar Cheshbon HaNefesh. We're in Paragimel, we're going through different Cheshbonos HaNefesh. And although it's very, seems very heavy and it seems very, very difficult and we're holding nowhere. There are 30 things and we're in the middle of number 8. But if you think about some of these things every once in a while, it would be very wonderful. No one's going to be perfect and no one's going to always be thinking about all these things. But if we make a, it would be a tremendous benefit if we thought about each thing. We can make a Seder in them. Think about it for once in a while. Maybe 2 minutes a day or 5 minutes a week. Really, if you do it sincerely and really, and nobody knows about it, no one's testing you, so you really do it, it really makes a huge difference in life. So number one was thanking Hashem for our existence. Number two was thanking Hashem for the biology of our body. Number three was thanking Hashem for our seichel. Number four was thanking Hashem for the fact that we have a Torah and we know what the Ratzon Hashem is and we can be bonded with Him lo netzach. Number five is stops the thank yous. Number five is to remember and to think about that we have to understand the Torah. It's not just something to say, but something to learn and study and understand. Men will do it what they learn. Women nowadays will do it with what they learn. Number six is the idea, to contemplate the idea that our actions in serving Hashem shouldn't be less than the Bria. We should, why is the whole Bria does Ratzon Hashem. Sosum usmeichem la'sos ritzon konom. Sosum usmeichem la'sos ritzon konom. Osum b'yema ritzon konom. Why should we, with all that Hashem has granted us, be different than that? We could just like sort of meld into the Bria and we'd just slide into doing Ratzon Hashem. Number seven was a long cheshbon and a little unfocused to an untrained eye. It was to feel like an eved. To feel like an eved. So how would an eved serve his master? A master that gave him everything. Again, Avdus is not Uncle Tom's cabin. An eved means he's, for whatever reason, he's owned by the master and the master provides him with everything he needs. And in return, wants his service. Now, Hashem doesn't want much from us because he doesn't need anything. So what could he ask of us already? So he's only asking of us to acknowledge and to thank him and to acknowledge that he's the provider of everything and to do his ratzon, which is for our benefit. To feel like that. And if we feel like an eved, you know, then our actions will fall into place when we have an esayon. Or if we have trouble focusing on davening, or, you know, so then if we think like an eved, we have the mindset of this eved owes everything to the master, so that'll help us in overcoming all of these, you know, difficult moments or difficulties in focusing. We're in the middle of number eight, I believe. Number eight is a fascinating. I find it fascinating. I don't know if anyone else does. He puts together the word yichud in two areas, and they like meld together. But really, they're two different things. One is shar ha-yichud. One is to think about Hashem echad, and in a way that everything is Hashem. You walk in the street. I mean, he wants you to do it with the full force of shar ha-yichud. Everything you see is a manifestation of Hashem's will. Hashem is everywhere. Everything you see is Hashem. Every event is Hashem. Everything is Hashem. Hashem is everywhere and everything. That's Hashem Echad. That's the Chavis Halvavos is Shar HaYichud. The uniqueness of Hashem's Achdus. It's not just a question of I have one pen in my pocket and not two, but Hashem, by definition, is above everything else, and that's all that there is. It's Hashem. And then he ties that together with what Shar Yichud HaMaisa is, which is that all of our actions should be single-minded to do the will of Hashem. Nobody else's will counts. If we have to respect other people, maybe a parent or a spouse or other people, we have to cover the brios, or we have to care about what they think, it's all through the prism of that's what Hashem wants us to do, and ultimately we're fulfilling the will of Hashem. There is just like, and this is where the two ideas come together, I think. You know, he doesn't say beferish, he just seems to be playing with words, yichud, yichud. It's saying that just like everything is Hashem, so everything I do, everything's Hashem. So you say, well, the shtender is not Hashem. Well, yes, it is. And if you go through all the chain of the universe that brought about this shtender, right? So maybe there's 2,000 links from a tree growing in the forest. But who says you should start with the tree? Maybe you should start with the rain and how the tree grew, right? So if you go through all the links in a chain till the shtender existed, but Hashem empowered every link there. So the shtender is Hashem. The shtender is Hashem's will, and it's only Hashem's will that enables the shtender to continue to exist. I'll use the word osur, it sounds harsh. It's also to think that the shtender will be here in 1 second because it's here now, so if nothing destroyed it, why shouldn't it be here? That's wrong. That's not a Jewish way of thinking. You say because Hashem wills it to be here, and if Hashem would withdraw his will, the shtender would not get destroyed. It would cease to exist. It only exists as a manifestation of Hashem's will. And if the will would be withdrawn, the shtender would... even when we think of that, we say it would disappear. It would get destroyed. No, it would just cease to exist. That's all. What do you mean? What happened to the law of conservation of energy and matter? There is no law of conservation of energy and matter. That's Hashem. That law is Hashem. If Hashem wants the shtender, withdraws his will, that law is only the will of Hashem. Everything is the will of Hashem. So even though, like you say, there's a long haul from Hashem to this shtender, well, maybe, but so what? We have to, we consider ourselves very sophisticated people, so we have to be a little sophisticated. In fact, don't get too sophisticated, or you'll end up worshipping the shtender, which some of the Avodah Zarah do, because they say there's Elokus in everything. And some of the Avodah Zarah, especially in India and such places, Buddhism, they end up worshipping objects, and there's Elokus in the object. And we also say there's Elokus in the object, but that's why there's a lav, and it's Asur, and it's a Chiyuv Misa, to worship anything. To worship any statue, any form, anything. Hashem said, don't worship it, because Hashem knows what it'll lead to. But the idea that everything is Hashem, I mean, we're not talking about now thinking that Hashem is Gashmi. We're talking about conceptually, everything is Elokus. So that's nothing wrong with, I mean, again, you have to pick the right words, but that is certainly true. And that's Adirabba, that is Hashem Echad. And then he says, everything we do, even though I do it because, let's say I get up in the morning, I give breakfast to my family, I go to work, I earn money, I daven, I go to the bathroom, I cross the street. So I'm doing a lot of things every day. Thousands and thousands and thousands of things. And if you would ask me why I'm doing any particular thing, so I would give you the immediate answer. But the real answer is links in a chain. At the end of the chain is Hashem. That's the Pshat Mechavis HaLovas, I believe. That's why it's the same thing. everything that exists and every event that occurs at the end of the chain is Ratzon Hashem. Everything I do, my whole life, my life and everything I do is dedicated, because it's ultimately at the end of the chain, it's only because it's the will of Hashem, not the will of my neighbor, not the will, not even my will, not the will of whatever, not because I want this or because I want that or because it's the right thing to do, even, you know, my idea of right and wrong, or because it's acceptable, or because I'll have a better life if I do this. All that is wrong. Shaar Yichud HaMaisa teaches us that ultimately we have to stay focused on the only one thing that matters. Nothing else matters. And sometimes, as I say, it's at the end of a chain, because a person's putting gas in their car on the way to the supermarket. So you say, well, you know, why am I putting gas in the car? Because or else I'll get stuck on the road. And Hashem has nothing to do with this. Hashem is not on my radar screen. So that's what Shaar Yichud HaMaisa really teaches us. And that's the point of this Cheshbon number 8. To realize and think about that everything we do should have Hashem at the end of the chain. At the end of that chain. Because why are you putting gears in your car? Because I don't want to get stuck. So I have to get where I'm going. Why do you have to get where you're going? Because I have to shop. Why do you have to shop? Because I have to... You tell that to my kids, you know, when they come home and they open the refrigerator and there's nothing there. Okay? Why is that your achrayus to provide food for your kids? You should be able... Cheshbon number 9 is to think and realize that ultimately it's because Hashem wants you to do it. And really, as I said so many times, this makes us an Eved Hashem 24/7. It's inspiring. If we could manage this once a day, to say, I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to do it. Even if you take a nap. Maybe especially if you take a nap. So it's so wonderful to say, you know, I'm taking this nap because I need my koach, and I need my koach to do the things Hashem wants me to do. And that's b'chol du'achecha da'ehu. So this is where it comes together. I'll read it over quickly because I just said it over ba'al peh. V'hashmini cheshbon adam v'nafshu b'meshu chayu bo miyuchud libo l'elokim yusbarach. And so he mamish puts it together. There's two obligations of yichud that you have to have. The yichud halev al shnei ponim. Yichud means single unity. Achdus, we talk about. Echad mehem yichud halev v'yichud hakeil. Kasher b'yarno b'tchilas ha-sefer hazeh. That's shar ha-yichud. Hashem echad. V'hashemi yichud halev, when we do things. It's also a single-mindedness, a single focus. Right? Einstein was looking for the unified field theory. So we know what the unified field theory is. It's Hashem. Hashem is the source of all energy, and Hashem is the source of all matter, and Hashem should be the source of all of our actions. That's the Chiddush of Chaydeh Halavos. That's also a source. What do you mean he's the source? I have Bechira. I'm doing things. Ah, yeah. Your choice to do whatever you're doing should have Hashem as the source of your actions. That's Mamish, what he's saying. The source of my will, the source of my actions, the source of my motivations is Echad. Just like the source of everything is Echad, the source of all my actions should be Echad. V'asheni yichud alei b'shoshayasa muva ma'asei olam haba, even mitzvahs chova, because sometimes we do mitzvahs, we forget about Hashem. We just say, you know, I'm doing this because I got to do it. O rishus, or things that are so-called rishus, even though in Shaar Avodas Elokim he develops the idea that there really is no such thing as rishus. Rishus means optional. Really no such thing as optional. He has a very interesting conversation with himself, and he ends up that there's no such thing as rishus. Because everything is because Hashem wants me to do it. Everything is either on that path or not on that path. Hashem is not neutral about anything. L'alokim levado k'sher b'yarno b'shar chamishi min ha-sefer ha-zeh. So you have shar ha-yichud and shar yichud ha-maise. U'mitzlo yichud o'alokim, he tackles the first aspect of yichud first. Sh'lo yi'alo alokim zu'lo so, no other power, no good luck charm, no right to bendelach, nothing. Lo yiyaches olav, and you shouldn't attribute to Hashem anything that takes away from perfect unity. We won't go into to fully understand that. You have to learn Shari Yichud, you have to think about it. It's more of a philosophical issue. Tzura, form, because a form of necessity limits Hashem, if there would be a form. Below tmuna, or an image. Below tchuna, like tchunas hanefesh, emotions or aspects to his personality. Below tnua, no movement. There's no movement. Hashem doesn't. We read in the Chumash and it sounds like Hashem's doing something, and a moment before he wasn't doing it, but that's not true, you know. And if it's, our minds don't grasp it so well, and maybe it's better not to go there, especially if you're prone to headaches. But below tenua, Hashem has no movement. And if Hashem has no movement, by the way, then you understand that he's above time, because all time is movement. And if Hashem has no movement, so that's the pshat, he's above time. He's unaffected by time. He created time. There's no, because time is movement. Below hatoka, no change. Hashem doesn't change. Again, we fall into the trap because we read Chumash, and the Chumash talks about Hashem dealing with people. So it says, Vaydabar Hashem al Moshe Lamar. And I'm like, that's not really possible that at 2 o'clock he spoke to Moshe, and at a minute to two he wasn't talking to him. Shaykh. There's no change in Hashem. So this is because Hashem doesn't really exist in time. So there's no two, and there's no minute to two. Everything is. Everything just is. I don't claim I understand what I'm talking about. Below tar mitare hagufim, I just know the right words. So maybe you'll write it down and you'll think about it, and you're a very smart woman. You'll come back and explain it to me. That would be wonderful. Below tar mitare hagufim, there's no, you can't describe Hashem. All of our descriptions of Hashem are descriptions of how we perceive the effects of how he relates to us. Hashem is not Godol. Hashem is not really Godol, Gibor, Nora, Vayichar Af Hashem. No such thing, really. Below Inyan Meyanyone Ha'etzim V'Hamikra, he's not. Mikra, events don't affect him. V'Yamin Shein Reishis L'Kadmuso V'Lo Tachlis L'Mitziuso. Maybe we say Adon Olam. Maybe if you say Adon Olam, if you do, so maybe you can think about this for that moment while you're saying the words anyway. So that's it. Bingo. It's not like having one pen in your pocket. There's no. His singularity is incomparable to any other singularity that we can think of. Below Borei's Lossov, below Yotzami Balodov, Ushmor Shemosov Hatovom, Mitosov Elyonos. He's not the strongest, or the best, or the quickest, or the smartest. He's Hashem. Umitnoi Yichud Halev, he's going now to number two, which doesn't give you so much of a headache, but it might be harder to do. Umitnoi Yichud Halev, B'maisei Elokim, Shlo Yechavim B'maaseu Elo Lishmo Hagodov. Lo me avo l'shavach b'nei Adam, which is it probably could be said safely that most of our actions, okay, I'm sorry, I apologize, most of my actions are that people should hold of me, people should like what I do, people should think well of me, but you shouldn't. Lo me avo l'shavach b'nei Adam, lo me tikvah lahem. You want something, you want them to hire you, you want them to like you, you want them to read you a shidduch, you want something from them. V'lo meyira osam, I don't want to get fired, I don't want to get my kid not accepted into a school, I don't want them to think badly of me, who knows what could happen. These things should not enter your mind. To the degree that they can enter your mind, because it's a Torah sanctioned feeling, then ultimately it's because that's what Hashem wants. Not because of that. If it says L'moshel V'yishem Nekiyem Me'Hashem Me'Yisrael, you shouldn't do things that would make people think you're doing an Aveira, and you learn it out from a Pasuk, it means that's the will of Hashem, that you shouldn't look like you're doing an Aveira. It's not, and people shouldn't think that you're doing an Aveira. But you don't really care about the people. That's not the end of the chain. The end of the chain is you care about what Hashem thinks of you. A person, say, like once a month, once a week. I only care what Hashem thinks of me. I don't care. I'm sorry, this is what he's saying. This is Yichud Elokim. I don't care what my husband thinks of me. I don't care what my children think of me. So you say, but of course I do. Yeah, I only do in the context of I care what Hashem thinks of me. And Hashem wants me to act a certain way to my husband, to my children, to my friends. Hashem wants me to act a certain way. But ultimately, I only care about what Hashem thinks of me. And that's all. That is Yichud Elokim. It's not easy. I think Yichud, Shara Yichud is easier. It's more difficult to comprehend. But it's easier to do, because maybe that's why, because we just have to pay lip service to it. And not to get a benefit. And he's really describing how the world works. Everything people interact is because they want something, they expect something, they want to avoid a nezek, they want, I mean, he just gave a description of why people do things. He's saying, no, try not to. You only care about what Hashem wants from you, what Hashem thinks of you. This is a tough one, because achariso means olam haba. And this is a madrega that we can only dream about. Like I said, once a month, this will make it once a year. I give you permission to think about this once a year. I don't even care if I get olam haba or not. I just want Hashem to be pleased with me. Now, even the rest of the year, that's once a year for 5 seconds. But you have to mean it. We're not talking about a joke. Now, even the rest of the year, maybe we can manage. Of course I care if I get olam haba. Like, what am I giving up that cheeseburger for? If you could manage to say, because Hashem wants me to have olam haba, because that's why he created the world, to bestow upon people, like Abchal, to bestow upon people that great reward, because he's a meitiv. So even if you do think of olam haba, it might not be that hard to hook up to the will of Hashem. Like, it's not really because I care about my olam haba, and which makes you the object of, it makes you into an avodah zara, really. If you want to be harsh, it makes me the purpose of my existence. And that's not a Jewish, it's hard, but it's not a Jewish thought. Hashem is the purpose of our existence, to please Hashem, to do His will. It happens to be that He doesn't need anything. That happens to be. He doesn't need anything, and He doesn't care. And He's doing it for our own benefit. But in the highest madrega, we are doing it for Him, because we want to fill His will, as an expression of gratitude, according to the Chavis HaLavas. But again, maybe it's not so hard if you could just say, I want olam haba, and I learned, and Rabbeinu told us that Hashem wants me to have olam haba. That's why He created the world, to be mativ to people. Then you'll start thinking, wow, thank you, Hashem. Then you'll hook up into the first few cheshbon ha-nefesh of being so thankful to Hashem that He put us in this situation. And He put us here as human beings, and He put us here as Jews, and He put us here in Eretz Yisrael, and He gave us families, and I'm like, wow, what did I do to deserve this? Kamo Shomer, Rabbi Seinu Zichonim Levrach, Al Tiyu Kavodim HaMisham Shebes Harav Al Manas L'Kabul Pras, El Avu Kavodim HaMisham Shebes Harav Shalom Al Manas L'Kabul Pras. Very, very hard. And now he does what he did in most of the Cheshbon HaNefeshes, maybe, I think all of them. I said he always gives real life examples that we can relate to in our personal lives. Even though it's like 100 times Kal V'Chomer, and it seems almost petty, but the Chavis HaLavas does it throughout the Sefer. He wants to make it real. And again, he wants us to think about it. Not just to say the words. He says, how would I feel if I was an abandoned baby sitting in the park, 1 hour old, and someone found me and took care of me all the way up to college and gave me a job and found me a wife and bought me a house in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel. And so boy, what do you mean, how would I feel? I would burst with thanks. So if we could feel 1/10 of that to Hashem, who did more than that person who picked us up as a 1-hour-old baby. So then that would be wonderful. 1/10 of that amount of bursting of thanks. Here he says, don't think this is a small thing. U'b'chon zeh ochi. Make the following test and you'll see what I'm talking about. B'neshanogim bo b'nei adam b'yahavosam. So someone does you a favor and you think, wow, that person's my friend. That person loves me. That person is my friend. And then you find out, says the Chayvus Halvavus, think how you would feel if you found out that he wants to ask you for a loan tomorrow. And that's why he did you that favor, or he wants something from you. Right? Okay, what is it? Good evening, darling. I brought you these flowers just to tell you how wonderful you are. What do you want? What is it that you want? Let's go out with it. And he says, well, I just wanted to go away for a couple of days without you, and you shouldn't mind. So he says, imagine how you feel if someone is your friend and does you favors and expresses love, and then you find out there's ulterior motives. When he feels from someone he thought is like loves him. That's not really it. He's not really loyal. He has a motive for what he's doing. Yitzof olav, he'll get upset, annoyed, angry. He'll reject what he's doing, even if he needs it. Right, someone's coming to me and they're... My wife comes and she serves me supper. And I need the supper. She's serving it to me. I need it and she's giving it to me. But she's doing it for a reason. She's doing it because she wants something from me. So that's what the Chacham Lvov says. Imagine, he says, how Hashem feels, so to speak, and he doesn't need anything. Ma'adach, you would feel betrayed if someone did something for you out of friendship and love, and you found out it wasn't true. You found out they really are doing it for an ulterior motive. You would be so hurt, even though you need what they're doing for you. And Lamaisa, they did it. So you should be so happy. And you are maybe happy that they did it, but you feel betrayed, and you're hurt. And you go away, I don't want to look at you. I can't look at you. And everything's, he's not doing it with a smirk on his face. He's sincere, and he looks sincere, and everything's good and it's wonderful, as if he was sincere. And I need what he's doing for me. But I would be so hurt, annoyed, angry when I find out he's doing it for himself. The whole thing was phony. He doesn't love me after all. He's not my friend after all. This whole thing is. He says, Kal v'chomer, and again, this is the Chavis Alavis style. No, Hashem has no emotions. But this is his style, to realize what we're doing, how we're acting. So imagine if in our lives there would be someone doing that, how hurt we would feel, and that's, so to speak, how Hashem feels. And that's what Hashem thinks when you're eating the matzah, you're doing everything, you're doing Shabbos, you're doing everything, but you're doing it so that your neighbor you want to fit in with the community. You're doing it for yourself. You have your cheshbonus while you're doing it. Think how Hashem feels, so to speak. That's what he's saying. Think about it. This is what cheshbon nefesh means, not to listen to me darshan here. It means to walk in the street and take a minute, and think this is really real. This is mamash. These are very important things and important thoughts to have. And it really has a koach to change us. We need him. He doesn't get anything out of what we're doing. And he knows what we're thinking. He knows what our motivations are. My wife does something for me. And I sort of suspect she wants to ask me, to take her out. Please. My wife would never ask me to take her out, by the way. I would want to go out before she would want to. But I don't really know. Like, I suspect. But Hashem knows. Hashem knows what's motivating us. That's his kal v'chomer. Hashem doesn't need us. We need him. So everything we do is, he doesn't really need it. It's just the way he set things up as a way of saying thank you to him, as a way of acknowledging him. And he knows what we're thinking. He knows. It's not like he suspects and he thinks, and maybe you don't really mean it. Okay, well, out with it. What do you want from me? He knows. Ech nirtza lo minafsho seinu. Ech nirtza lo minafsho seinu. How could we think that we are finding favor in his eyes if our friends would not find favor in our eyes, if that would be the dynamic?
They
don't know that there's an ulterior motive there. So think about that. How would a person feel if there's really no loyalty? There's really no friendship? There's really no love. There's an ulterior motive. How hurt you would be, and you would reject. You would say, "Get out of here!"
Really, that's what people. I don't want to look at you. It's fake.
Shemistakel ha'mevin mimenu binyan hazeh. When you really think about that, it's so beautiful. The Chavis all love this. He says you're going to be totally embarrassed. You're going to turn red. You're going to blush. You're going to be embarrassed. Oh my goodness, I never thought about this before. Yikes, how can I hold my head up? Here I am doing things ostensibly for Hashem, ostensibly because I'm listening to Hashem, and you know something? If no one would be around and no one would know what I'm doing, I'm not quite sure what I would do. I don't know. Yikole mi boshto mi abori yusala viyusake matspuno, and then you get to work. And you correct and you fix up your kishkes, matzpuno, famous, one of his favorite words, it means you're maybe subconscious, you fix up what's inside of you, your motivations, your what's beneath the surface. And start doing things because it pleases Hashem. And you're doing it ultimately because Hashem wants you to do it. Especially when you're doing a mitzvah, mitzvosov, or you're learning Torah, mitorosov, and you're doing it for His sake. So you do it with zrizus, v'yaseda, v'yishtadlus, v'charitzus. Kmo shomar dovet olav ha-shalom, derech mitzvosecha, orutz. I'll run to do your mitzvahs, kisarchiv libi, when you broaden my heart, meaning my understanding. Broadening it, meaning you realize what it's all about. That's what the Chavis HaLevi just said. You think about this and you realize why you're doing this, and then you should be motivated to do it for Zrizus, and you won't be lazy because you want to do this for Hashem. Yeah.
I feel like I'm in kindergarten and I don't really understand that I've always grown up with this idea of we call it Tzar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or Hashem Ishmael Choma, and all these attributes that we put on him. This is the way I personalize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and now I'm caught in the middle here.
That's how he relates to us. It says in the Pasuk in the Torah, Hashem gets angry. Vayicharaf Hashem, ki holeichu. Vayicharaf. And again, we can't fathom Hashem. So our only way of relating to Him is as the Sfarim say, as the effects of His of what happens, of what He causes to happen. So Hashem is not really angry, but if it doesn't rain for the first 3 months of the winter, we talk about Hashem being angry because what happened is the result of something that we would call anger. He's displeased with us.
If it rains,
everything
we're doing the right thing.
Well, someone's doing the right thing. Someone is. You understand? And was, Hashem ultimately is impervious to any emotion, to any change, to any anything. All these things are the way we relate to Him. So you'll say, so what's the difference then? The difference is that the difference comes into play when things happen, or, you know, so you say, well, if you're, say, well, it's Hashem. Hashem, everything is Hashem, and Hashem is Echad, and there's no change, and Hashem is still, so there's no change. Marshall, if we're allowed to believe that Hashem is a Meitiv, that seems to be, that's not an emotion. That's a result. Hashem is Meitiv. Hashem is a Meitiv. Maybe we shouldn't say, if you want to be very, very, very scientifically precise, we wouldn't say Hashem is a Meitiv, we would say Hashem is Meitiv. Because Hashem is not an anything, right? There's no adjective. So you say Hashem is Meitiv, that we could say, because that is what happens, Hashem is Meitiv. So then you get used to the idea of Yichud, and you say, well, He's always a Meitiv. Because Hashem, there's no change in Hashem. So it's not like, well, now I got sick, so He's not exactly being a Meitiv. Chas v'shalom. Now I lost a lot of money. He's still being made to me. There's no change in Him. So if we, again, like once in a while, if we think about Hashem Echad, the Shar HaYichud, which the Chavis HaBavis wants us to do, so we'll be able to cope and we'll be able to understand things that happen through that perspective. That's the best way I can answer you. We personalize it only to have a, we do say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanorah. But you see, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah came around, they wanted to stop saying it because they said, Aye Gvurosa. We don't see any manifestation of His Gvura. We don't see, it's all seeing manifestations of these things. Hashem Himself is just, I don't know, the closest way of describing it is just is energy. I don't know that chas v'shalom, but that's like the closest way we have of describing it. He's just like a piece of energy. The reason it's, first of all, that's what it means, Hashem Echad. That's part of understanding Yichud Hashem, and the Chavis HaLavos holds we should understand it, and it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Liachado, and again, there's the Chavis HaLavos Hashito, the mitzvah of Liachado. He says it in Shar HaYichud explicitly around 100 times. The mitzvah of Liachado is to really understand what it means, Hashem's singularity. And that's a mitzvah. The practical, I gave you like one practical totsa'ah that would come out of having a healthy understanding of Hashem is not governed by time, and Hashem is not governed by changes. There's no change in Hashem, and Hashem is above it all. So that will make it easier for us to grasp His omnipotence and His omniscience, and He knows our thoughts, and everything is Hashem, and it just makes us more aware of Him. He's not just something we worship three times a day when we daven, or something that we deal with on a Yom Tov, or something we deal with. It's Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. It's a constant presence. Maybe that's heavy for some people, and it is heavy, except Baruch Hashem, He wants us to live normal lives, and He doesn't want us to get a headache. If you have a headache, then don't think about it if it gives you a headache. He doesn't want us to have headaches. He wants us to live normal lives, to get married, to have children, to have families. That's very clear from the Torah that He wants us to have normal lives. So, but every, the Chavis HaLavos is describing like an ideal. That's what we said many times as we learned the Sefer. And on a practical level, it's something to think about once a month. Well, some of the things maybe once a week. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll start number 9 next week.